Florida's annual legislative session is now underway in Tallahassee. The only thing lawmakers must do by law is pass a balanced budget. But lawmakers are working on many other issues. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at BayCareEvents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WSF Public Media, I'm Carson Cooper. We're bringing you highlights of a statewide legislative preview show hosted by WLRN in Miami.
It's an agenda crowded with wants, needs, pet projects, and special interests.
Tax cut.
A good review of mental health.
We want a ratio of one case manager to 15 children.
Create a woman veteran's license plate.
The insurance system on a greater footing.
We have a problem with the uninsured.
Increasing student funding in our public schools.
We can buy land around our springs.
The erosion of our beaches is our first line of defense against storm surge.
Give 16% for housing.
There's that long list of wants, needs, pet projects, and special interests. Some of those voices, Governor Scott, legislators, issue advocates, and special interests themselves. I'm Tom Hudson from WLRN in Miami. Thanks for listening. There is no shortage of work ahead for the legislators in Tallahassee, but there is just one item that is a must-pass piece of legislation, just one that lawmakers have to approve before they adjourn on May 1st, a state budget. And this year, they have 1 billion reasons to be thankful, a $1 billion surplus driven by an improving state economy throughout Florida. But state government jobs continue shrinking. There are fewer of them. Statewide median wages in Florida are flat, and Floridians are spending more and more time stuck in traffic. Ask residents what they want on the agenda in Tallahassee, and you hear a wide variety of issues.
My name is Claire Hurd, and I live in Key West. The issue I chose is affordable housing. As a single parent with income in the mid-40s, I'm not close to poverty, but the idea of owning a home is out of reach.
It's time for Florida to look at medical marijuana objectively.
The issue I would like to see lawmakers address is the environment.
The Florida Art Therapy Association now has a bill sponsored in the Senate and House for art therapy licensure.
It can be quite a different list of agenda items when talking to voters. Those items that will be debated this session include environmental spending, no doubt about it, and also art therapy licenses, affordable housing, and medical marijuana, all on that item list. Governor Scott has proposed a $77 billion spending plan. It includes cuts to the state's portion of taxes on cell phone service and cable TV, fewer state government workers, and more money for public education. It certainly is a big decision. Among another big financial decision that lawmakers face, both in terms of finances and policy, this session it was foisted upon them by voters. Floridians overwhelmingly approved what is the nation's biggest state-backed conservation effort. It was called Amendment 1 back in November on the ballot, and more than 4.2 million Floridians approved it. It added less than 150 words to the Florida Constitution, but it guarantees money to be spent on all kinds of environmental projects, wetlands, drinking water resources, lakes, beaches, recreational trails, historic sites. They're all mentioned now in the Florida Constitution. So for the next 20 years, it mandates one out of every $3 paid to the state from the real estate documentary stamp tax go toward the environment. It's expected to add up to about $800 million this year, over $20 billion over the 20-year lifespan of the spending. Amy Green reports from Orlando.
There are still places in Florida that exist as they did a century ago. One of them is in Osceola County, not far from Walt Disney World, on Adams Ranch.
We're looking out across the scene where it's Palmetto Flatwoods as far as you can see to the horizon. It's interspersed with shrubs like gallberry, huckleberry, and then it has grasses like gamma grasses and wiregrass.
Lee Adams worked the ranch for 45 years.
But this used to encompass an area that went from Kissimmee all the way to Okeechobee.
Adams Ranch is the nation's 12th largest cattle ranch, spanning 40,000 acres from Florida into South Georgia. It's been in the family since 1937. But Lee Adams says Florida's ranching heritage is at risk as skyrocketing property values sway ranchers to sell to developers. That's why for the past decade, the family has worked with environmentalists to preserve Adams Ranch through conservation easements. Lee Adams hopes Amendment 1 will help.
Amendment 1 is going to have a lot of challenges in Tallahassee this spring. Everybody wants a piece of it.
Under Amendment 1, part of the tax you pay when you buy or sell a house will fund land conservation for 20 years. The value this year alone is estimated at $757 million. The amendment directs the legislature to allocate the money. The question now is, how should the money be spent? Some want it for land conservation. Others, like Senator David Simmons of Altamont Springs, says now is the time for a statewide water plan. He wants funding for new septic tanks and other projects for Florida's ailing waterways.
Water is the common thread throughout our lives here in Florida, and we need to make sure that it's preserved first. I believe that purchasing land is, of course, an element of this. But let's do that which needs to be done first.
But some environmentalists say voters never intended Amendment 1 funding for septic tanks. Other environmentalists are mounting a campaign calling for funding to buy up U.S. sugar land for Everglades restoration. Will Abiger is chairman of the coalition pushing the amendment. His fear is Amendment 1 funds will replace existing environmental funding.
I think very clear on the part of the 4.2 million people who voted for Amendment 1 that this should be new funding for water and land conservation in Florida.
Florida once led the nation in land conservation with programs like Florida Forever. Proponents say Amendment 1 is intended to restore funding that was cut in 2009. Back on Adams Ranch, cowboys are vaccinating and branding newly born calves. Conservation easements, included in Amendment 1, would ensure that these calves and cattle could roam here for generations. Leanne Adams Simmons has worked on easements for Adams Ranch since 2007.
We are just selling our development rights. So we're giving up our right to develop. We can still, the ranch is still owned by Adams Ranch. It's still managed by Adams Ranch. We still pay property taxes.
The easements lower property values, easing the tax burden as the land is passed from one generation to the next. Adams Ranch has only 800 acres under easement so far, but expects to close on another 1,500 this spring. Leanne Adams Simmons says she's focused on Osceola County because the land here is considered to be part of the Everglades headwaters.
If the ranch wasn't here and this was another St. Cloud or in Orlando, it'd be all cement. So where does that water go? Well, you have to build reservoirs and canals to deal with that water. So it is a public benefit by keeping some of these ranches preserved.
She hopes lawmakers agree. Amy Green in Orlando.
The history of paying to protect Florida dates back to the early 1960s. Back then, land purchases and conservation efforts were paid for by a 5% state tax on outdoor clothing and equipment, and that included swimsuits. So yes, the Sunshine State paid for public land purchases with bikinis. Well, now the pot of money the Amendment $1 will come from is that same source of money that goes toward paying bonds issued in past years for environmental projects. Also, the State Transportation Trust Fund gets some of that money and affordable housing. Mark Hendrickson is a longtime affordable housing advocate and a board member of the Florida Housing Coalition.
There are plenty of revenues in dock stamps to fully fund every penny that the voters voted for Amendment 1 and give 16% that continue the 16% for housing.
It's a lot of financial decisions to be made in a very short period of time in Tallahassee. We are underway with the Sunshine Edition, the 2015 Florida Legislature from Florida Public Radio. Some top Florida lawmakers are going to be working this spring on a series of bills designed to open up career opportunities, especially for people with disabilities. It's a personal issue for some in the legislature. Len Hatter reports from WFSU in Tallahassee.
Finding a job is hard. It can be more difficult with a disability involved. But Senate President Andy Gardner says it doesn't have to be that way. And he believes the state should take the lead on employment.
You know, we've made an effort over the last couple of years to help individuals with, a lot of people say disabilities, but we look at it as individuals with unique abilities.
For Gardner, the issue was personal. He has a son with Down syndrome, and he's fought for years to increase educational and employment opportunities for Floridians with disabilities. Gardner wants to help people like 21-year-old Ashley Martin. She spoke with Agency for Persons with Disabilities Director Barbara Palmer about a year ago. Ashley dreams of one day working with animals, but she's frustrated with the entry-level jobs she's gotten, such as working at a local grocery store.
You know the FSU food court thing? I forgot what it's called.
What kind of jobs did you do?
inside jobs, like stocking stuff at Harvey's, cleaning tables at the FSU thing, and sweeping and putting new paper towels in the paper towel thing.
You didn't enjoy that?
Mm-mm.
What would you rather be doing?
Being outside with nature.
I think it's going to be a really good year for our cause under the leadership of Senate President Gardner.
Susan Homott heads the Able Trust. The organization lobbies for people with disabilities, and Homott says she can't remember a year where there have been so many bills.
I think we've got a great start. Obviously, most of the bills have been already authored and have been drafted, so we're taking a look at them. But even if a percentage of those bills pass, it will be a great year for people with disabilities in the state of Florida.
Florida lawmakers have started moving proposals that would allow disabled Floridians to work and keep their health insurance. Another would encourage state agencies to hire more people with disabilities. Other proposals expand workforce training opportunities at public universities. Still, there are problems. Other advocates say they need more funding for behavioral specialists who assist disabled Floridians on the job. They say once a person is employed, the specialist is there to help them navigate social situations, which can sometimes be overwhelming. Transportation is also a big hurdle to employment. And the Able Trust's Homott says she'd like to see further reductions in the red tape that people encounter when they try to enter the workforce.
We make life more difficult for them than we would ever make for ourselves. And it's just not fair. In fact, it's probably immoral. And I do say that to some people, you know. It's just not the human thing to do, you know. But we do make it difficult, you know.
But despite the downsides, Homott says all the legislation equals a big step forward. And she credits Senate President Andy Gardner for pushing the issue. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Lynn Hatter in Tallahassee.
Still to come on our program.
You take the recreational use out of it. You take that social value out of it. I don't see anybody sitting around on a Saturday night with the strobe lights going saying, oh, wow, let's rub oil on our hand. Okay, but what they want to do is they want it in smokable form. That's where the abuse comes from.
A new push for more legal medical uses for marijuana in Florida. As the Sunshine Edition, the 2015 Florida Legislature continues here from Florida Public Radio.
What do you think your lawmakers ought to be doing in Tallahassee? You can join the conversation on our Facebook page or send an email to floridamatters@wusf.org. And you can tweet us. We are at Florida Matters. I'm Kirsten Cooper. This is Florida Matters. I'm Kirsten Cooper. This is Florida Matters, and we are bringing you highlights of a statewide legislative preview show that aired the day before the session began. Here again, Tom Hudson from WLRN in Miami.
The push to legalize medical marijuana is relatively new in Florida. The legislature took a small step last year, allowing a very specific strain to be used for a narrow list of diseases. But not enough Floridian voters supported a broader use of medical marijuana during the fall election. A proposed constitutional amendment fell short of the necessary 60% threshold to pass the November ballot. So now the effort is back in legislative form for the 2015 session. Lottie Watts reports from WUSF in Tampa.
The latest proposal to make marijuana available for medical use in Florida comes from Republican State Senator Jeff Brandis of St. Petersburg.
Amendment 2 really was kind of a take-it-or-leave-it offer.
He says the place to work out the details is in the legislature.
I think a better way to do it right now is to go through statute and to be thoughtful, let legislators review it, make the appropriate changes, and really create a Florida-specific medical cannabis law.
He's the sponsor of the Florida Medical Marijuana Act. It would allow patients suffering from certain conditions or symptoms to get access to marijuana if they are certified by their physician.
This is really kind of going in with what I think is really the best of all of the other 23 states' legislation, trying to pull it together to do something that I think is reasonable for Florida, and to really give chance for all the other legislators to understand and thoughtfully ask questions and for it to be fully reviewed.
there are many, many reasons why we would be very concerned about a bill like that passing in our state. And, you know, we will do everything we can to educate people about those potential consequences, and hopefully people will reject it.
Calvina Fay is the executive director of the Drug-Free America Foundation, based in St. Petersburg.
There's a lot coming out right now on this issue of marijuana as a so-called medicine. A lot of very bad stuff, a lot of abuses, a lot of new research showing that marijuana is not the benign drug that people thought it to be.
So when it comes to smoking marijuana, the official position from Drug-Free America is no. And Faye says Florida doesn't need to make marijuana more available.
The THC in marijuana, which science has shown to be of value as a medicine, that THC has already been extracted from marijuana and turned into a synthetic form and has gone through the FDA process. And it's been prescribed now for several decades. It's marketed in the United States under the name of Marinol.
During the last legislative session, Florida lawmakers approved a specific type of marijuana. It's a non-euphoric strain of cannabis that's expected to be used to treat seizures in children. But the Florida Department of Health is still hashing out the rules of the new Charlotte's Web law. And that, according to Senate President Andy Gardner, could complicate things for the Brandis bill.
It's been tied up in rulemaking in the department, so there might be a challenge as how much you do this year when you haven't even implemented what we did last May.
Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Gualtieri supported the Charlotte's Web bill last year, which got its name from a popular brand of low THC marijuana oil.
You take the recreational use out of it. You take that social value out of it. I don't see anybody sitting around on a Saturday night with the strobe lights going saying, oh, wow, let's rub oil on our hand. Okay, but what they want to do is they want it in smokable form. That's where the abuse comes from.
That's where the proposal from State Senator Duff Brandis falls apart for Gualtieri, because the bill allows marijuana to be smoked.
And I'm totally opposed to anything that will allow abuse or recreational use.
In the Florida House, lawmakers have also introduced a medical marijuana bill, one that doesn't allow it to be smoked. But if nothing comes out of the Florida legislature on legalizing marijuana for medical use, that doesn't mean the push is going away. United for Care, the group that campaigned for Amendment 2 in 2014, is already gathering signatures to get the issue back on the ballot in 2016. I'm Lottie Watts in Tampa.
Ben Pallera is the executive director of United We Care, the group behind last fall's constitutional effort. Ben, do you support the bill that's in front of the Florida Senate right now that would expand medical marijuana?
Yes, we absolutely do. The bill is not perfect, but it's a very, very good comprehensive medical marijuana bill that would help the sick and suffering Floridians who could benefit from this plan.
So on the point of a non-perfect bill, an imperfect bill, marijuana opponents would agree with you on that. They don't like the bill either. What don't you like about it, though?
Listen, I think it could be broader. There could be more discretion left up to the physician, like what was in the amendment that was on the ballot in 2014. But it's a very good comprehensive bill, and medical marijuana opponents are going to be against any bill.
Let's talk about the parameters that the Senate proposal puts on a qualified patient. Seven diseases are named in this proposed legislation, such as HIV, AIDS, ALS, Parkinson's, and cancer. Cancer's a big category, of course. Would you prefer no specific diseases mentioned in any kind of medical marijuana legislation?
Yeah, I would prefer the physician have the discretion to recommend the use of medical marijuana in the same way that physicians have the discretion to recommend much, much more dangerous drugs on the market. But what the bill has is a set of qualifying symptoms, which would allow the physician to recommend medical marijuana for a much broader set of diseases.
That includes severe and persistent pain, severe and persistent nausea, seizures, severe and persistent muscle spasms. Those are conditions that are not included in the House legislation.
Correct.
And presumably you are opposed to the House legislation.
Yeah, we are opposed to the House legislation in its current form. But again, it is a very good comprehensive piece of legislation with really two big differences from the Senate legislation that make it unacceptable to us at this point.
One of the big differences that marijuana opponents have seized upon is that the House measure does not allow medical marijuana to be smoked.
Right.
The Senate measure would allow it to be smoked.
Yeah, my thoughts are that sick and suffering patients should be able to follow the recommendations of their physicians and get their medicine delivered in the way that is best and most effective for them. And if that's smoking, then so be it. And you shouldn't be able to tell a cancer patient, no, you can't consume your medicine this way.
Is the legislative prescription here possible in the environment in Tallahassee after the failure of the medical marijuana amendment in November?
I think it is, because the legislators see what happened with the amendment, and that it got 58% of the vote, which is a larger share of the vote than any of the last eight gubernatorial elections were decided by. It got more votes than any statewide candidate on the ballot. So I think the legislators see that this is a mandate from the people of Florida.
If there is no legislative action this session on medical marijuana to expand it beyond the Charlotte's Web strain of THC, how much is your group willing to spend to get a 2016 amendment on the ballot?
I don't know how much we're willing to spend, but we're going to go back on the ballot in 2016 if we can't get it done this session.
Any changes to what the language was this past fall?
Yeah, we've strengthened the language based on...
What do you mean strengthened? You narrowed the definition?
I don't think we've narrowed the definition, but we've kind of tightened up the definition based on what the Supreme Court said in placing it on the ballot last time. So there are no true substantive changes, but we changed some of the wording to more closely fit what the Supreme Court said.
Does the lack of Charlotte's Web in the market yet, as the rulemaking still is continuing, hurt or help your case this session?
I think it helps our case that we need to start from scratch and do this right this time. We need a comprehensive bill and not something piecemeal like Charlotte's Web, which a year later still has not been put into place.
Do either of the two bills that have been proposed fit that description of comprehensive in your estimation?
Yes, I think the Brandis bill, Senate Bill 528, is a very strong piece of legislation that we would be very, very satisfied with passing this session.
If that bill passes, would you still go forward with the constitutional amendment proposal in 2016?
If it looks wholly like it does today when it passes, then no, we would not. We're not about winning elections. We're about getting a medical marijuana law passed.
Ben Pallera, Executive Director of United We Care. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
While lawmakers debate changing the law about using marijuana in Florida, they are under increasing pressure to deal with the places many violating Florida drug laws wind up: in prison. The Florida Department of Corrections is home to over 100,000 inmates locked up in what can be unsafe conditions and abusive environments. Mary Ellen Kloss covers the Capitol. She's the bureau chief for the Miami Herald and the co-bureau chief for the Tampa Bay Times, still with us from WFSU in Tallahassee. What has been the legislative history of prison funding, Mary Ellen?
Well, in the last few years, the history has been what Secretary Jones, DOC, has called the cannibalizing of the agency. Every year, the legislature, you know, they ask for additional money for staffing, for building repairs, and the legislature appropriates some money, not all that they've requested, and because the agency has had a deficit, and because it's been unable to meet all its growing needs, it's been having to use money that was intended for hiring staff to do things like repair buildings, mm-hmm. pay for increased costs in their food service contracts, and so there's been this shifting of funds. And the agency now is faced with not only problems on its budget side, but it's facing investigations into suspicious inmate deaths and many other things.
The record here is very troubling, and you've been detailing it exhaustively with your investigation. But it's also a question of priorities. You talk about the Department of Corrections having to take personnel money and direct it toward capital expenditures. In other words, you know, fixing buildings and facilities. But you've uncovered, for instance, that there's collapsing roof trusses at one facility housing prisoners, but yet they're spending almost six figures to repair a roof that houses nobody.
Right. And there are a lot of unanswered questions, I think. As one legislator told me, it's not a popular issue. Putting money into prisons doesn't win anybody any votes. Hmm. This has not been a priority of the governor. And as a result, this is an agency, I think, that has been, its problems have been neglected, its management has not been a priority, and so all these issues now are festering, and there's the potential that they are facing investigations right. from the FBI, and they may also be coming under other kinds of investigations. So they now have to put some focus on it, and that's what we're likely to see this session.
One of those areas of focus is about $31.5 million that the Department of Corrections is asking for staff increases and building repairs. Will the department get it?
I think they will. The governor has actually asked for this year come up with about $15 million in needed repair work, although that's only a fraction of what they say they need in the long run, and another $16.5 million to hire additional staff. The bigger question will be, what do they do to change the culture of
right.
the organization?
Right.
And that's where they're talking about an oversight panel that really does take the oversight of this agency away from the governor and gives it to a panel, sort of like the Transportation Commission looks at road building.
Final moments here. The last special session immediately following a regular session was in 2012. Odds this year, what do you think here as we're on the cusp of a new regular session? Will we continue on into May?
Well, I think that there's a likelihood we will be back, as I mentioned earlier, for mm-hmm. a special session. And there's two reasons for that. There is the problematic health care funding, and there is the fact that the governor must decide to complete a gaming compact with the Seminole tribe. And that deadline is the end of July. If he does agree to something, that needs to be ratified by the legislature.
Right.
I think that there's a chance all this happens in the summer.
Mary Ellen Kloss, watching Tallahassee for the Miami Herald and the Tampa Bay Times, with us from WFSU in Tallahassee.
Thank you.
The Sunshine Edition, the 2015 Florida Legislature, has been produced by WLRN Public Media in Miami, with contributions from WFSU Tallahassee, WUSF Tampa, WMFE Orlando, and WJCT Jacksonville. In Miami, our engineer is Charles Michaels. Audio director and technical supervision by Peter Meritz with Wanda Miles. Studio producer, Julia Duba. Statewide digital editor, Maria Muriel. Engagement producer, Steph Farrow. Our editorial director in Miami is Alicia Zuckerman. News director, Terrence Shepard. WLRN Public Media's general manager is John Labonia. I'm Tom Hudson. This special program from Florida Public Radio has been a presentation of WLRN Public Media in Miami. Thanks for listening.
And that's it for today's show. We would love for you to join us for a live taping of a future Florida Matters. At the end of March, we'll be hosting a screening of Ken Burns' new documentary, Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies. A panel discussion on the history of cancer and changes in cancer treatment will follow the preview of the documentary. You can get details and RSVP for this free event on our website, wusf.org. Florida Matters is produced by Lottie Watts and engineered by Craig George and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.